This is Faith Footnotes with Northwestern Publishing House, Episode 6, A Year in God's Word, The Power of Reading Together. Welcome to Faith Footnotes, Christian Conversations with Northwestern Publishing House. You can find us online at nph.net. My name is Joshua Vick.
And I am Tanya Gerbing.
And we are your hosts for Faith Footnotes.
Like our name suggests, this is a Christian podcast that is all about practical resources for connecting with Christ and Christian living. Typically, we will feature engaging conversations with Christian authors, explore helpful answers to the common questions about the Christian life, dig deep into faith-related topics, and more.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm not exactly sure what the cutoff date is for wishing someone a Happy New Year, but I'm going to wish everyone a Happy New Year all the same. Start of a new year is always really exciting. It's a fresh start, and it kind of has that excitement feel, right? It's also a chance to explore new possibilities and make New Year's resolutions.
Ah, yes. The New Year's resolution. I've made a few of those in my day, and they've never been successful. Setting the goal is the easy part, but keeping the resolution, that's the challenge.
According to a Pew Research study, 79% of people made health-related resolutions. 61% made resolutions about money or finances. 57% made resolutions regarding personal relationships. 55% were about hobbies. And 49% were about work. And Tanya, my resolution for 2025? Well, I have to go back to my resolution for 2024, which was not to make a resolution for 2025, and I'm doing very well at it.
Well, here's a fun fact for you. Did you know that roughly 70% of Americans don't make any resolutions at all?
Wow, that is definitely higher than I thought. But whatever your stance is on resolutions, one thing is clear. Building new habits isn't easy.
Definitely. There's no magic formula for making habits stick. If you've ever Googled how to stick to a new habit, there's one tip that always comes up: having support or encouragement from others.
That idea, having support, plays a big role in what one church did in 2024.
That's right. At St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Nebraska, the leadership wanted to help their members stay in God's Word on a daily basis. Did you know that only 11% of Americans read the Bible daily?
I didn't know that either. So they came up with a powerful idea. They gifted a daily devotional to every member of the congregation so they could all read it together and encourage one another to stay in God's Word every single day.
And the book they chose is 364 Days of Devotion by Pastor Andrew Schreyer. Some of you may remember we had him on the show last November.
Joining us today to talk about this wonderful church-wide reading plan are two members of St. Paul's from Plymouth, Nebraska, David Hicks and Diane Weisson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, your job.
Go ahead, Diane.
All right. I am Diane Weisson. I work at the Beatrice Community Hospital, and I'm the patient concierge there. I actually take care of our patients' family needs. I've been a member over 30-some years. This is my family church. I grew up in this church. Me and all my siblings, actually my mom, we all have gone to the parochial school here in Plymouth.
Wow. Yeah. And how about you, David?
I have a wife, Jody. She's a paraeducator. I'm a corn and soybean farmer. Our son is home farming with us. Our daughter is a medical doctor in Kansas, and we just became grandparents this summer. So exciting.
And how long have you been a member at St. Paul's?
Actually going on year two now. Kind of a funny story. Jody and I were actually married here 33 years ago. This would be my wife's home church. Then we kind of went, split the difference for a few years, and then ended up back here.
From your perspective, what inspired St. Paul's to give a copy of 364 Days of Devotion to every member of the congregation?
Well, I know both pastors had expressed to me they really wanted to have each member get into God's word on a daily basis. And they thought that the devotion book was a great resource to do that. From my perspective, I think it's accomplished the task.
Absolutely. Yeah. He brought it to us one day at church, and it just seemed like everybody in the congregation was ready to go with it and kept talking it up every Sunday. And we couldn't wait to have those books delivered, could we?
Right. So to back up Diane's comment, yeah, everybody was in anticipation, you know, what are we going to read? What are we going to read?
So it seems like there was a pretty favorable response. Have you heard any notable feedback or stories?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny how you could be brought up in the sermon or just carrying on a conversation with your, my brothers and sisters. They all go here. I have people that I work with at where I work that go to our church, and we all, some days you'll say, "Hey, did you read that devotion today?" And we all really enjoy it and can talk to each other about it. And it's been received very well, I think, here.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic. You find out who reads it right away in the morning.
Yeah.
Because maybe like after church, you're visiting and you say something, they're like, "Oh, no, don't spoil it. I don't read it till the evening." So it's kind of been fun that way. But I haven't heard any negative impact. It's all very positive.
Absolutely.
What was your reaction to hearing about this, the reading plan?
Oh, I thought it was great because I personally hadn't really been reading a devotion since college. So it was something that was kind of meant to be, I felt.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Dave. Yeah, we probably weren't as faithful as we should be. I hate to say it, but my husband probably didn't read it as much. I did have a devotion book I would read every day, but you know, now every day he doesn't miss it, you know. So it's been very well. We like it a lot at our house.
Tell us a little bit about how this worked. You mentioned picking up the books. Everyone was kind of anticipating to get started. I'm assuming before January 1st, the church gave out a copy to each member. But what happened after that?
Oh, you know how the month of January is. You get over with the holidays and it's cold and snowy. And so there maybe wasn't quite as much. But then it seemed like after the month of January, then that's when the conversation really started to pick up as far as members talking to members or finding out, hey, as soon as I get it via text in the morning, I automatically send it to so-and-so that's not a member of St. Paul's.
I think more and more people started talking about it for sure amongst ourselves or to your neighbor. In our country, our little country store, they say the guys go up there for coffee. You know, it can be brought up there. And it was pretty cool.
So you touched a little bit on the impact that reading these devotions had on your daily life or faith journey. Can you expand a little bit more?
Well, what I find ironic is some situation, whether it's on the farm or whatever, lo and behold, the next day, what is the contents of the devotion a lot of times gives you an answer to your problem or what you're perplexed about. So you can kind of feel that it's the Lord's plan. Well, for example, the reading on Thanksgiving, I read it at our family get together, and it really applied to my parents that had just been put into assisted living. And I just really hit the nail on the head. So there's more than one circumstance like that, at least for me personally. Mm-hmm. You know, the one we're doing, Andy does such a great job of applying it to everyday life.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a situation where he's talking over your head or something mm-hmm. you don't understand. It's just so relatable.
And, you know, I, for myself, I feel like I'm learning way more about what the Bible means. You know, you may read it, but like, for instance, today it talked about how the Nicene Creed came about. And, you know, there's some things I did not realize how that was written, who wrote it, but you are learning some of those things too, and the disciples about them more that I, you know, growing up, yes, we had that in parochial school, but I feel like, you know, I'm just learning more. So it's very rewarding to know
where St. Nicholas got slapped.
Yes.
That was in today's. Yeah. I wasn't aware of that. I got it.
Yeah. You know, it's just, he always has it to a thing that pertains to your daily life. And then he goes into that reading of the Bible. And it's like Dave says, it's amazing how often some of those things can really pertain to your life and how much you do learn about the Bible, how it was written and where these words came from, which I know they're from instituted through God, but it's just amazing.
In previous episodes, we've talked a lot about the value of Christian resources. And from your perspective, what role do devotionals play in someone's faith? Like, you mentioned your experience reading 364 days of devotions. Thinking broadly, what role do devotions play in someone's spiritual life?
Well, for me personally, it doesn't matter if it's corn planting time or harvest time. First thing I do in the morning, and it might be 4 a.m., I go to my office and I read the devotion. And I really feel like that sets the tone for my day and is increasing my spiritual life just from a short little two-page reading. It's amazing just the clarity it gives a person heading into your day.
I would have to agree with Dave. You know, I try to read mine towards morning too. Sometimes it's at my break, sometimes at my lunch. But if, you know, things happen throughout the day you might be struggling with, and if you can just take those few minutes and be in the Word, you can kind of regroup, think, you know, okay, God's with me. We're going to get through this day. And it has helped tremendously, more often than I can ever had imagined, you know. It's really good.
That's just amazing to hear how valuable something like this kind of resource is playing in your spiritual life. Thinking about families, or you mentioned both of you are married. Did you have an opportunity to read devotions together with another family member?
Jody and I read them separately because sometimes she's really pushed in the morning and she might not read it till evening. But then inevitably, not on a daily basis, but I'd say probably on a weekly basis, if there is something confrontational between us as husband and wife, I mean, not serious, but then it might be brought up, didn't you read your devotion this morning?
Yeah, I have to say the kind of the same thing. Our son doesn't, you know, he lives in a different town, but we have brought up and shared some of the devotions with him, you know, just say, this is a really cool one. And, you know, we both get it on a text, you can share that with them and then it strikes the conversation. Or, you know, my husband's a farmer also. So sometimes, like Dave said, you'll come home from work and then he'll say, you know, that was a really cool devotion. So then we're having a conversation about the Bible and devotion, maybe over supper or watching TV. That used to never happen. So it's really nice.
That's one thing we should probably talk a little bit about is you mentioned that text. That was something your church had the special ability with thinking about copyright stuff that you worked with Northwestern Publishing House to get that text message set up. And it sounds like it paid off.
Well, Diane had mentioned about forwarding it but I have a college friend that on a daily basis, as soon as it dings on my phone, I just send it straight to him.
And me with that job I have, so if I've even brought it into some of our patients' rooms, you know, if they're having a bad day, I'll say, you know, I have a devotion. Would you mind if we read it together? You know, I see hospice patients, you know, and just somebody that's lonely. You just, you know, it's just been amazing. I'm glad I have the opportunity to do it, to share God's word. It's good. I'm not a pastor or a teacher, but anybody can do it, right?
That's right.
As part of his plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really incredible to hear how this tool has become a way of outreach for members and for the church.
Yes.
I don't know if it travels as fast as bad gossip, but it's kind of the same concept.
Yeah. But it is a good tool, you know.
Yeah, it's great.
Yes. It's been very good. You know, it has gone farther than just our church. People appreciate those things.
Let's switch gears over to your church family now, your church community. How does spending time daily in devotion strengthen relationships within your church family?
I would have to say that, not to be redundant, I mentioned about talking about devotions like after church, standing outside, conversing, whatever. But I think most people are getting the meat out of the context and taking it to heart. And I just really think it's improved the atmosphere.
I feel like it's made us all maybe just a closer. It's not that you didn't talk about the word, but maybe after you leave church, like Dave said, or you just greet each other anywhere, grocery store, wherever you may be.
Gas pump.
Yeah.
I've had that happen.
Yeah. You know, I think it has brought us all a little closer together and easy to share the word with each other, even non-church members. You know, it's
more openness for sure.
Absolutely.
So I'm trying to put myself into your shoes and thinking about if my church rolled out some sort of reading plan or encouraged everyone to read a book for a whole year, I'm thinking there might be some days where it's really hard to get that reading in or easy to get off your habit. What worked for you and what strategies did you use when reading became difficult?
For me personally, as stated, I just do it right away in the morning. It's just a habit now, and I don't have a problem doing it. It's something I want to do. Mm-hmm. It's inexplainable, I guess. I think it maybe what I've noticed goes back to your previous question, because you darn well better read that or you're going to get burned when someone else asks you about it. It's like,
you haven't read.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like an algebra class where you get behind by 2 weeks and never catch up. But at the same time, you better know, or otherwise you're going to feel like a heel when someone else asks you about it.
That kind of goes back to something we said in the beginning, where how do you make a habit? It's having others working with you and encouraging you and supporting you.
For me, I get the text, which I think everybody can if they want to. So, you know, you get that ding or whatever noise you have on your phone and you think, oh, there's the devotion. You know, you want to look at it. You don't know who it's from or what it is. So I usually try to, if you go back to your text messages, you see it there. You know, it's worked very good for me. If we go to see, we have a daughter that lives 6 hours away. Would I take that book? Probably not. But when I get that ding and I know that that devotion's there, I know I can read it. And it's made it very simple for me, the texting, you know.
I'd back that up too. If you're out of town for a couple of days or whatever, it comes through on your phone, and it doesn't matter if you're out of the country, you still read it.
Right.
So are there any plans to build on this program, such as group studies or discussions based on the devotional in your church?
Not that I'm aware of.
No, I don't know of any either. I think it'd be a great plan. We do have another devotion book that will start.
We've got them already.
We do have them already in the new year. So might not be on this book, but we're going to continue to do it.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I was going to do a spoiler alert if you already didn't know what your next book was. But in 2025, St. Paul's in Plymouth, Nebraska will be reading the devotional titled Together with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know Jody and I have ours in possession already. A few on the tables out here that haven't been picked up.
So it will continue, I'm sure, here at St. Paul's. Maybe not with this book, but it will continue, I'm sure.
What advice would you give to our listeners who are interested in starting their own daily devotional practice? Someone who might have a devotional but is feeling intimidated to start, or we're just kind of thinking about the value of reading with, you know, a spouse or a family or friends. Any kind of advice or suggestions you would give to that person?
Just open up on day one and start. And I really feel it'll just snowball to where you don't quit.
If you do skip one, who cares?
Or just go back and read. Yeah.
It's never too late to start a devotion.
Right, right.
And it's amazing how, like Dave said earlier, some days those devotions are right on. And it can and will help you, I'm sure, in your daily life.
Well, thank you, Dave and Diane, for joining us today.
Glad to do it.
Absolutely.
You can find the show notes and links to all the resources discussed on today's show at blog.nph.net. Let us know what your biggest takeaway from today's show was in the comments section. Be sure to follow our show on your preferred podcast platform. We'll be posting a new episode each month. Join us next month as we explore how spiritual growth can strengthen relationships.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Faith Footnotes from Northwestern Publishing House. Keep the conversation going by visiting nph.net.